changing minds one thought at a time.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Do I Not Matter Telesummit, where we are elevating mindsets here on the topic of Do I Not Matter. So, Vanessa, tell us about our guest today.
Absolutely. Our guest today, speaker, is Sherman Urquhart. He's an educator, a scholar, a life coach, an author, a husband. A family man. He is currently pursuing a doctorate degree in education. Now, that's absolutely phenomenal, just to say the least. He is making so many major moves that if I continue on with his bio, we would be here all night. But let me tell you, you will never be disappointed when you hear from this man. He is just touching the surface. So, Sherman, are you there?
I'm here. Good evening. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing great.
That's good. Dr. Finch and I are absolutely honored to be able to have you on this telesummit of Do I Not Matter? My first question to you is, when you see the topic come up of Do I Not Matter, how did that capture your attention? But at the same time, it also was able to give you that amazing topic that you're going to speak about, overcoming obstacles.
Do I Not Matter is so much so in the same field as overcoming obstacles, because at least I can only speak for myself, when I was at the moment in my life where these obstacles were coming at me left and right and I didn't know how to handle them, a sense of defeat developed. A sense of defeat can develop in people when they're constantly being hit by things and they don't know why. So the question would then become to them, do I not matter? You will start to question your own worth, your own value, and it can be a deafening and defeating thing if you cannot get past it. It was right in line with the story of my life.
Awesome. So tell us more about the moment that you felt that you did not matter.
It's a long story, and when I was at rock bottom was a moment when it seemed that when you're really trying to do right, nothing seems to work. You know, you can go through life and you can mess around and do things. You can halfway do stuff, and you realize that you're doing these things, so you don't expect huge results. You don't expect a return on investment when you're not investing that much, so it's kind of normal. But when you're really trying and you're really striving and things still continue to happen, that was the moment when, you know, you start to question whether God and the universe are against you, whether you don't matter. Are you really going to have a life? Are you really going to be happy? Are you really going to be successful? Are you really going to be able to enjoy a family, when you're actually doing the right things and things continue to not work out? So that was what did it for me, and I had to get past that and realize that, you know, everyone does have self-value and self-worth, and everybody is, you know, God's children, and He loves us all the same. So once you tap into that power, then you're able to move past those things, but it took a long time for me.
And this is one thing that I really, really love, the things that you're speaking about, because oftentimes, especially being a man, people feel as if men do not have the emotional side, but at the same time that they don't matter, that is like non-existent. Well, it does exist, and I'm glad that you took the initiative to say, you know what, I know there's something else that's going on, but I know I need to overcome this situation. Was there a person or a family members that you were able to turn to so they could be able to help you overcome these obstacles? Or what did you do to be able to start the process of overcoming those obstacles?
The good part about it was that my family supported me from the beginning, and they stayed supportive throughout. So it was it was something that I had to realize. It has to come with it from within. It has to come from a higher power, both of which I had not tapped into. Even though we grew up in the church and all that kind of stuff, you know, we grew up in, and we were in church all the time. My mom had a different church than my father did, so they went to church on different days. So we were in church, you know, 4 to 5 to 6 days per week. But when you're bombarded with that as a child, once you get to the point where you've, you know, you graduated high school, you're out of the house, you can make your own decisions. You have to walk your own path. A sense of loss can come in there because you don't really know which way to go. So for me, it was tapping within myself. My family was always there. And once I got tired of hurting them and hurting people close to me, then it became easy with God's help to, you know, move past all of that. But, yeah, they were supportive throughout. But it was all – it had to come from within.
Now, what was the pivotal moment that made you say, okay, I'm coming from within – and now is the time to make the shift?
It was a series of events that could only be explained by the power of God's hand, quite frankly. It was things that were out of my control in succession that delivered me from a place that I was in mentally and physically, actually. That could only be explained by God stepping in and saving me. That was the pivotal moment, me realizing that, and I wrote about that in my book. It was an exact moment, an exact time on a certain day, 16 years ago. So once I realized that, once I saw that with my own eyes, then I was able to step up and stand, you know, stand up and step out of that place of despair I was in, that I called it. And after that, even though things would continue to happen, I approached them differently, the way that I would get around obstacles and move past obstacles. And some obstacles I met head on because I wanted to test my limits and smash through them. But at that point, the difference was I was armed with the knowledge that, you know, I'm no different than anybody else. We're all a part of this movement. We're all God's children, so he wants us all to be successful. So to answer your question, the pivotal moment was when I realized a series of events took place in my life that could only be explained by God's touch.
You got me over here shouting, and I'm trying to keep it to myself now, because what you said was it could not be explained, but it was by God's touch. Now,
yes,
I understood it, but somebody else may not understand that. Is it okay if you go a little bit deeper in that area?
Yeah, sure. Let's see. There can be, you know, there can be things that happen that you can see them coming. Like I said earlier, if you're not investing much, then you shouldn't expect much. But when the going concern is when you meet God halfway, he comes to your rescue and he takes care of the rest of it as long as you put forth the appropriate effort to do that. So once I started doing that, I had never done that before consistently. So once I started doing, you know, in order to get out of the situation that I was and remain out of that situation, I had to take a few steps. Once I started taking those steps, which I had never done before consistently, once I started taking those steps, he would meet me here. And I'd take another few steps, he would meet me there. And it got to the point where the things that were happening, it was like the universe was getting out of my way. The doors were opening for me, and I was putting forth the effort on a consistent basis. And when I did that, he opened doors. And that could be, you know, applied to any aspect of your life or to anybody's situation. If you meet halfway, if you do your part, if you're consistent with your faith, and you do the things that are in your power on a consistent basis, the universe will get out of your way and God will meet you halfway and take you the rest of the way. And when that happens, to me that had never happened before. So when that did happen, I knew it was only one thing, and I knew I had an obligation to continue and to try to help other people who were in danger of falling into the same traps that I was once in.
So tell us how you help other people fall out of those traps. What do you currently do in that arena?
I've taken jobs where I've been able to mentor in some form or fashion. I was a trained teacher, so I was teaching. Now, of course, there's not a lot you can do in a traditional public school setting where you're responsible for such and such data and such SOL scores and getting students to do, you know, to score, you know, an AYP and all those things that come with traditional school, and all that's fine. But just being a presence in a young person's life that they might not otherwise have, may or may not otherwise have, being a strong presence in their life can go a long way. I still have students who, you know, I don't know, 10 years ago when I started teaching, I still have students who I taught before who I still keep in contact with. I would like to think that I had some sort of positive impact on that life. And, you know, by the things that they're doing and by the successes that they are having that I can witness to, I can feel some sort of relief knowing that I at least started good. And so then it went on from there to where I was, you know, using what God told me to do to help people who I know needed. So I took jobs in group homes where I was working with young people, you know, developing their life skills, you know, developing good habits, especially young men, try to help them to understand that, you know, men are our most valuable resource. One of our most valuable resources for sure are our young men, because they're going to be in charge of the next generation, and they're going to have to build families and keep those families together and provide for those families. And if no one is there to teach them how to do that, then, you know, the cycle can continue with what we're seeing in a lot of places where, you know, our young people are lost. So every chance that I can get, I do that. Currently, I'm doing career coaching with young folks at a nonprofit facility where we help young people get their high school diplomas and some industry-recognized certifications like safety and OSHA 10 and things like that. And we help prepare them for college and to be able to go into the workforce. These are students who society has turned their back on. Students from, you know, usually low-income areas who don't have a lot of outlets. They don't have a lot of strong, supportive family to help them and push them. So they come to us, and, you know, I'm proud to be a member of this team. And what we do is we provide that, we fill that void. We provide them with that structure that they need in order to be successful and to examine their own lives to say, you know what? I've got a lot of stuff going on here at home, or I've got a lot of stuff going on, or I've been through a lot, but that doesn't define me. I've been through a lot of negative things, but that doesn't define me. I can still go out here and make something of my life, and to a large degree, that was where I was. So it's I enjoy doing this because I can see myself and a lot of our young people that we support today.
Oh, my God. Sherman, my goodness, this is the reason why I wrote that book of Do I Not Matter, because a lot of our youth are lost, feeling as if they don't matter, feeling as if they have nothing to give, feeling as if this is all that's left for them, and you spoke on it, and that's what we need to get them to understand, because I remember when I was coming up, I was caught in the middle of my parents' stuff. And so with them not allowing themselves to be able to remove their ego and their pride, I continued to ask that question in my childhood, and it showed up in my adult life. I didn't even understand it. So for you to be able to step in and to be able to show up and be a key person, a point of contact, a person who really cares for our youth, that's what it's about. That exactly is, you really put the nail in the coffin when what you spoke about. I'm so thankful that we connected. I'm so thankful that we connected. I really, really am. And when I say you are just touching the surface, I never knew the reason why I said that, but sometimes we never know. Just like you said, sometimes it's just in God's touch. But I knew it was something. And I'm glad that you went deep, and I'm glad that he's allowing us to be able to pull those things out, to be able to allow you to be able to do what you do best and just be you and be that servant leader. So thank you for that. And so I'm going to stop rambling. But my next question
you're fine.
What would you tell your younger self so they don't feel as if they don't matter? Because we need to put an end to it some type of way, shape, form, or fashion so our children don't keep going on, especially in this generation, what's going on right now, asking themselves, do I not matter? And they absolutely matter, but they need to understand how they can be able to understand truly they matter. So what would you tell your younger self?
Don't waste time. Hone your gifts. Pull other people up as you're going up too. Don't forget about, you know, those who are helping you. But if I could, that's kind of general, but if I could speak to myself directly at, say, you know, 16, 17, before the wheels fell off, I would say that, you know what, you can either do one of a couple of things here. Either you can continue on this path that you're going, and you can put yourself at risk for being, you know, my father used to say the term behind the eight ball. You're behind the eight ball. You'll put yourself behind the eight ball in an endless array of failures for the next decade. You could do that. Or you could smarten up, wise up, respect the people that got you here, listen to your heart, make sure that you are employing your gifts and not wasting them and not wasting a whole lot of time. So I wouldn't have I would not have a pleasant conversation with myself if I could see myself at 17. It wouldn't be a pleasant conversation, and it wouldn't be a motivating conversation. It would be a no-choice conversation. Either you can, you know, but you can do, like I said, you can do a couple of different things. You can waste the next 15 years like you did, or you can wise up, smarten up, respect those who got you here. Think about your gifts that God has blessed you with and use them to help other people and go after your dreams. You don't have time to waste, because one of the biggest mistakes that I made was that I thought I had a whole lot of time to waste. I'll get to it when I get to it. Okay, I messed up here. Oh, well, it's no big deal. Okay, so I'm locked up, I guess. People get locked up. It's no big deal. So what? Got locked up again. Okay. So you're not going to class? Is that what you're doing? You're not going to class? You're hanging out, getting high, getting addicted to drugs? Is that what you're doing? You're breaking in people's houses? So this is the life that you choose for yourself? That's what you want to do? Well, you can sit in this for 15 years before you get out of it. Or you can wise up now and use what God has given you and, you know, be smart about it. That's, in a nutshell, what I would say to myself at 17.
Now, I want to ask the reverse question. So now you went through all this, you're making your life better, you're elevating to the next level. So how do you make sure that your children do not ask the question, do I not matter?
Ooh. God bless her, my mother, I love her. She gave me one thing that is strictly from her. I love my father, too. He's passed on in 2012, God rest his soul, and, you know, he was a hard man, a few words, who, you know, taught us a lot by not really saying a whole lot. But my mother gave me one thing that I use every day with my son and my daughter. Whenever they do something that's off, whenever they do something that's rude or inappropriate or disrespectful, if they give a certain look, if they have a certain tone in their voice, my antennas go up. I mean, immediately, and I have to address that so that I can do everything in my power to make sure that, first of all, I'm modeling the type of behavior that I would like for them to employ, and that I'm not allowing them to waste time. Now, my daughter's, of course, is 17 months, so she's she's running around. She's got nothing but time. But my son's 11, starting middle school, and getting into those pivotal years where you're going to get this, you know, this, you know, the puberty and all of that, and the, you know, young boys are growing up, and old folks used to say they're gonna start smelling themselves and trying to talk sassy and whatever it is. And I have seen in my own life and through the various positions that I've held over the years, I have seen that manifested into young men. And I think it was Frederick Douglass who said it's far easier to train children the right way than it is to repair broken men. I think he said men for a reason, men being head of household, those who take care of the family. It's their responsibility to keep the world going. So if you neglect to raise your children, especially your sons, in a way that will be conducive to them being successful and being able to self-survive and raise a family, then you're doing a disservice for your legacy, for your family's generational legacy, and you're doing a disservice to society because you're not putting out a good product, so to speak. You're not preparing your children, namely your son, namely your black son. You're not preparing him for a world that he's already going to have obstacles in front of him. They're already there before he even realizes what they are. So it's my duty to make sure that I arm my son with the knowledge that he's going to need to prepare himself to deal with and be successful in the world that's out there waiting for him.
Wow. Sherman? But I know we're getting close to the end, but I want to be able to allow I know, right?
We're
so quick.
Wow. Okay.
That's how good. This is good. This is real good. But I want the audience to know more about what do you have coming up, how they can be able to be connected with you, and on top of that, I want you to be able to drop some wisdom for those who are listening as far as like the nuggets you just said, that raw conversation, because I have a 19-year-old. And being a single mother is no joke. That conversation is what another person needs to hear, like myself, like my son. You know what I mean? And drop some of those before we get ready to close out.
Well, there's a lot to be said about obstacles, but I'll try to sum it up into a couple of steps. There's a really simple method when it comes to defeating obstacles, first recognizing them and then putting yourself in a position to defeat them. They involve realization, expectancy, acceptance, and action. You know, first we have to take the idea of obstacles and keep them close by our thoughts so that when something tries to get on your nerves or that person does you wrong or tries to keep you from getting what you know is yours, we're consciously aware that the obstacle is being placed in front of us. We have that realization. We can keep calm and plan a strategy. When you become versed in that, then we can go to expectancy, where we take realization one step further. At this point, we realize that obstacles are coming, so much so that we can learn to expect them. When we expect them, we take all of the sting out. We take all the power away from that obstacle. We transfer that anxious or nervous or scared energy away from us so that we can accept what has just happened. We have to expect that even though we might be a nice person and we might look out for people even when you're living a righteous life, you're still not immune from obstacles being thrown in your way. So spending time trying to figure out why this happened to me or why this person hurt me when I'm being nice to them and all that kind of stuff, it's counterproductive. Expecting that these obstacles are coming saves time and mentally prepares us to deal with them and take action. Then once we have a strong realization that obstacles will appear, we can then learn to expect them and accept the fact that no matter what we do, they're going to keep coming. So now we can take action to either defuse the obstacle, sidestep it, skip past it, or my personal favorite, take a hammer and smash your way through it. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. We were talking about football. We were talking about running backs. You know, some of the greatest running backs, you know, they smash through obstacles like that. Some running backs will be running with the ball, and when defenders come, they'll try to tackle him. They'll sidestep him or quickly go around him, but sometimes they'll even jump over him. And that happens pretty often, especially with really good running backs. They know how to make defenders miss and sidestep those obstacles. But guys like my guys, like Adrian Peterson and Jerome Bettis, I like these guys because they run right into defenders, run right over them, run right through them. I mean, sometimes it's hard to tell who's trying to tackle who. Even though these guys could easily have gone around these defenders or these obstacles, they chose to run right through them. Why? Why would they do this? Why would they put themselves at risk? The word that we have to use is sacrifice. When you're talking about obstacles and, you know, I don't want to ramble here, but when you're talking about obstacles and getting around them, first thing you have to do is sacrifice things, and put yourself, take yourself out of your comfort zone so that you're giving yourself enough time to get to work, for instance, or you're getting up early so that you can have a chance to talk to God and set your day off straight so that you're not rushing and going through traffic angry and, you know, and when somebody comes to, you know, that person who comes and gets on your nerves at work or whatever the case may be, you can, you know, stay in peace, stay calm, and, you know, go on about your day in peace. But, you know, obstacles are something. And once you learn to master getting around them or smashing through them, whichever is up to you, if you tune yourself and you tune your brain and you're ready to rock, as we say to the students every morning, how are you feeling? I'm ready to rock. You sure? So you're ready to rock every day? Yeah. I might not be ready to rock, but I'm still going to be ready to rock. It doesn't matter. Whatever comes at me, I'm going to be prepared for it. I'm ready for it. It's going to happen. They're inevitable. But once you mentally set yourself and focus on them, then you can expect them. You'll know they're coming so that you can be at peace and be calm when these things happen. And you'll be more likely to be able to diffuse the situation and not, you know, lose your temper. But I'm compiling this information into another book, my second book that I hope to have out by the holidays. I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be really exciting, so I'll let people know about that. But for now, you can reach me at SC Urquhart on Facebook. My page is public, so just send me a message and I'll respond. Or my email address is scurquhart15@gmail.com. That's S as in Sam, C as in cat, URQUHART 15@gmail.com, and I'll, of course, you know, send me a message, and I'll send a message back. So that's how you can reach me.
My goodness. I don't even know what to say. But I thank you so much, Herman, for taking the time out of your hectic schedule to be able to give some great information so people can be able to understand they no longer have to continue to go through life asking that question of, do I not matter? And
awesome.
We will definitely be connected. And so, again, it's been such an honor to be able to hear the story on this level, because I heard the other story, but my goodness, you have a lot that's in the works for you, and I'm excited about it, very, very excited about it. So it was
a
great
show.
Thank you
so much.
You are so welcome. You are so welcome. It's been a great show tonight, and this telethon is just beginning. He set it off on fire. And we
Monday
will
Night
be
Live.
Back. Yes. And we will be back for the rest of the week to be able to bring you more speakers. Feel free to stay connected with us on Change Your Minds Online, on Facebook, and all through social media outlets. And let us know what else you want to hear from us, because we have more in the works to bring you great people, just like we just gave you this amazing speaker, Sherman Urquhart. So with that being said, thank you once again, Sherman, for joining us and sharing wisdom like no tomorrow this evening.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
You too.
Yes, and Sherman, I definitely want to thank you so much for being a part of the show. It has been an honor to listen to your story.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
And so, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we look forward to bringing you another amazing speaker tomorrow on the Do I Not Matter Telesummit. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.